Now, most of us, we realize that we cannot grow the fruit of the Spirit or weed out the sins of our lives by sheer willpower alone, but that the Holy Spirit partners with us as we use the spiritual disciplines to till the soil of our soul. And in that way, the weeds cannot grow, and the Spirit brings growth of the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And so what we're doing this year, 2012, is we're going through spiritual disciplines. The first Sunday of every month, we're going through spiritual disciplines. And you might remember that last month, I spoke about fasting. And at the end of it, I invited you, if it's not part of your practice, not part of your spiritual walk, to take on some fasting, to try fasting, especially during this period of Lent, this time of Lent that we are in. Any of you take the challenge to give something up, to try fasting? Anybody interested in sharing something that you've experienced, a blessing or a difficulty, something that you've had while you've been in this time of fasting? I know it's only begun. It's like, so depending on which one you did, you're about two and a half weeks into it. Anybody? Yeah, Mike. Yes, it will. Whatever you decide to give up, it will be placed in front of you over and over and over again. I can say amen to that one. I guarantee it. Anyone, anything else? Let me share with you real briefly. This year, I gave up sweets. Now, I haven't really defined it. I don't know what sweets are, but I gave up sweets. Very first day, Wednesday morning, I drive to United Tile where I was going to be working. I backed in. I was kind of waiting for my boss to show up, and I reached down in the center console where my stick shift is, and I picked up the chocolate and green swirly candies that we had at Christmas time, and I almost spun it, and I realized I can't have it. And I put it down. Phew, that was close. But see, that's the way it is. I get up in the morning, and I'm getting ready to go to work. And I grab a glass of milk and some Oreo cookies as I head out the door. I get home from work, and I want a snack to hold me over before dinner and stuff like that. So I grab a glass of milk and Oreo cookies. Dinner time. Not dinner time, bedtime. Before I'm going to sleep, I'm kind of relaxed and stuff like that. I grab a glass of milk and you got it, Oreo cookies. I love cookies. Cookies, I could go all out for cookies. So I've given up cookies. You know how many times during the day I am reminded that I'm not doing sweets. God just, boom, they're right there in front of you. I was sitting with Lisa. I got a bunch of stories. I could go on and on with this. I was there with Lisa, and we were watching some television, and I could go count four or five commercials that dealt with food and sweets, and they're pitching all kinds of stuff. I can't have them. They go on and on. We went last night to Fire on the Mountain after the soccer game. Lisa, get this. She orders deep-fried Oreo cookies. I'm sitting next to her. There's a whole group of us who are sitting there. I'm sitting next to her, and I'm eating tater tots. Okay, no sweets in those, unless, of course, you get sweet potato tater tots, which someone actually did. And Lisa gets the basket and goes, would you like one? Oh, sorry, you can't have one. I said, well, how about if I just eat the deep fried and leave the Oreos out or something? It goes on and on. But see, every single instance, every single time that comes up, I am reminded of what Christ has done for me. And it takes me back and it gives me time to pray or to reflect on this Easter season that Christ was willing to die for me. And that's the idea behind Lent. So if you haven't given something up and you want to try it, then do it. Fasting does not just have to be Lent time. It can be any time. But as we continue this series, as we move on, today what I'd like for us to look at is contemplative prayer. Bill Leslie, he was the senior pastor of LaSalle Street Church in Chicago. It's an evangelical inner city church that is sponsored by Moody Church. Donovan, can you press number 2 on the little light keypad to the left of you there? That is glaring really bad on that. I'm sorry. Thank you. At one point in his ministry, he burnt out. And for part of his counseling, he actually went to a Catholic nun for some guidance, for spiritual guidance. She asked him, "What is it that you feel like in ministry?" And responded that he feels like a water pump. And every time somebody comes to visit him, they take turns at the handle. And responded that it has all been pumped away. He was dry. She tells him he is pumping of the surface. He has to dig the well deeper. Then the Catholic nun says to this evangelical preacher, "Do you know what you need? You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." As Christians, we can often put such a strong emphasis on conversion and correct behavior and right theology that we forget all about the relationship that we have been redeemed to. That relationship with God, our Maker, with Jesus Christ. So, how do we dig the well deeper? How do we make sure that it doesn't go dry during the tough times? How do you develop that love relationship with your Maker, that intimacy with Him? Spiritual disciplines. In this case, prayer. Now, there are different types of prayer. I'm breaking off. Another tangent here. I'm going through a book in Sunday school, and we started back in November. And we've been going through, sometimes we go through a chapter a week. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 weeks. And I started doing the spiritual disciplines and working on those back in December, figuring all out. Today in my Sunday school class, we started talking about prayer. Go figure. And so I was asking them just about prayer. There are all different kinds of prayer and what prayer is. Some of you who are into prayer, you may know the ACTS acrostic: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You know, asking God for your needs. You know, that's a great model. But it focuses on us doing all the talking. And prayer is supposed to be a relationship. It's a dialogue. It is communication, conversation. Do you have a person in your life that is all business? They come into the office and they say, "Val, this is what we've got to get done today." And you say, "Good morning, George." And he just continues with all the things that are going on. And you say, "Good morning, George." Until finally George stops and says, "Good morning, Val." I know I struggle with that. And I at times I get in the church and I get here at 8:30 when everyone's going around and I'm running around. There's all kinds of things that have to be done. Today was a lot of stuff going on and I'm trying to do that. And I need to make it an intentional point to stop and acknowledge people and say, "Good morning." Otherwise, I just run off in the business. Oftentimes, our prayers are the same way. We are running around in our lives and we stop for a second and we say, "Oh God, I need you to save my friend Susan and heal Aunt Bessie." And God says, "Good morning, Val." And I continue on, and "God, can you keep that cat from digging in my garden? And can you give Tom a job?" And God says, "Good morning, Val." Until finally I stop and acknowledge Him and say, "Good morning, God." Here's a quote from Children's Letters to God. "Dear God, is Reverend Coe a friend of yours, or do you just know him through business?" Signed by Donnie. Now that just cuts right to it, doesn't it? It is a great temptation for us as pastors to begin to have this business relationship with God. It's all about business, and there's not a personal relationship there. I see it in my own life. And I struggle with it all the time. There's always things that have to be done. And for me, I am a doer and not always a beer. I'm always busy doing something and not always about being with God. And that is tough for me. I think there are some people who pray a great deal, but they still keep their relationship with God on strictly a business level. or maybe even a penitent to a judge. We must pray not just to speak to God, but also to hear from Him what it is we are to speak. You see, we are much better at talking than we are at listening. In many ways, nobody has trained us to listen. And we need to learn how. Even more than listening, to hear from God what we should speak back to Him. In doing that, we need to pray, to dig this well deeper, to develop this love relationship with Him, with God, to seek His face. The text this morning is from Psalm chapter 27, the entire chapter. Donovan has it there for you, and you can follow along with him. You can sit and listen if you would like, or you can follow along. Here's what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. To you, O my heart, He has said, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So how do we go about this contemplative prayer? You see, real prayer is something that we learn. If you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I really am not sure how to do this contemplative prayer stuff, you're actually in a good place because you know there is something you can learn. You know you're in a place where you could learn. First thing to do is to begin with Scripture. Listening to God is still a very subjective activity. We can fall into two problems when we're listening to God. First, we can assume that every thought that comes into our head is God speaking. We can assume that we are listening to God when we are really just listening to our own thoughts. The second difficulty is the exact opposite. We can fail to recognize when it is God speaking. We can think that His voice is actually just our own thoughts. By beginning with the objective word, with the Bible, we can attune our ears to His voice. Meditate on Scripture as you begin to pray. If you've never tried it before, give it a shot sometime. Get a Bible or maybe even a devotional book. Open it up. Pick a Scripture to meditate on. Even if it is only one verse and you meditate on it for 5 or 10 minutes, as you begin your prayer. It could greatly increase your ability to discern God's voice in your prayers. Donald S. Whitney, he writes, "The process works like this. After the input of passage of Scripture, meditation allows us to take what God has said to us and to think deeply on it, digest it, and then speak to God about it in meaningful prayer. As a result, we pray about what we have encountered in the Bible, and it's now personalized through meditation. And not only do we have something substantial to pray about, and the confidence that we are praying God's thoughts to Him, but we then transition smoothly into prayer with a passion for what we are praying about. Then as we move on with our prayer, we don't jerk and we don't lurch around because we already have some spiritual momentum. After you've begun with Scripture and you've started to meditate, listen before you speak. Spend time in silence before God. Wait to see what He says. Ponder these questions, ponder these things, and wait for the answers from God. You see, listening is not easy for us. Do you know somebody who asks you a question? And then you're kind of halfway through giving them the answer, and they're already moving on to the next question. Yeah, most of us are shaking our heads. Yeah, we do. We can be that exact same way with God at times. We ask Him questions, and then we spend no time listening for the answer. And then we wonder why we're walking around in the dark. Practice listening on people. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." I want to take the idea from that verse, and I want to modify it just a little bit, and I want to put listen in there. Listen to how it would go. How can someone say, "I hear from God," when they cannot listen to people? If you cannot listen to a friend who you can see, how can you say you hear from God who you do not see? William Stringfellow, he writes this. Listen to this. This is really cool. "Listening is a rare happening among humans. You cannot listen to the word another is speaking if you are preoccupied with your appearance or impressing the other. Or if you are trying to decide if what you are going to say when the other person stops talking. Or if you are debating about whether that word that is being spoken is true or relevant, or even agreeable. Now, such matters have their place, but only after listening to the word as the word is being uttered. Listening, in other words, is a primitive act of love, in which a person gives self to another person's word, making self accessible and vulnerable to that word." As we learn to listen to each other, we can apply that same skill to God in our prayers and listening to Him. Soren Kierkegaard, he said this, "I found I had less and less to say until finally I became silent and began to listen. I discovered in the silence the voice of God." Now, when you're listening to God, God may not speak to you in audible or inaudible words. He may speak to you in pictures or images or feelings, sensations or dreams or even visions. Allow God to use your imagination to speak to you. George Bernard Shaw, in his play about Joan of Arc, he puts these words in St. Joan's mouth when the skeptics are questioning her about hearing from God in her imagination. And she says, yes, this is how God speaks to me. It's through her imagination. Richard Foster, in his book on spiritual disciplines, encourages us to use our imagination even in our prayer request. Imagine you're praying for somebody to be healed. Can you imagine them getting up and being healed from whatever it is? See, use your imagination. Using your imagination. Here's what I want you. We're going to do a little exercise now. I have a song I want you to listen to. Donovan has a song that he wants you to listen to. Right, Donovan? And he's going to play it for you. Close your eyes if you want. Listen to the words. Creation calls.
Singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast.
just picture through the song? Could you picture the bird flying over the top of you, laying down in a field and looking up at the stars and just imagining God being there, being at the ocean and the waves crashing, running through a field and just have your hands out and hitting the grain as it grows? See, that's what he's talking about, using your imagination. When Pastor Bob and Bonnie were alive and they were worshiping with us, I would pray and she would always come up to me and say how much she loved to hear me pray. When I talk about the snow-capped Mount Hood and the ocean as the waves are crashing, painting imagery and pictures, God does that for us all the time. Pastor Frank, I got to admit to you, you were doing a thing up here and you're talking about not just bread alone. And you were painting pictures after each one of those. I was preoccupied with this, and I finally realized you were painting pictures for us, and I wasn't listening. Sorry. Imagination. Using your imagination, and when you do, there's a whole new world that'll open up for us as we wait and we listen to hear God speak to us. Finally, after you've done all that, after you've picked some scripture and you've read it and you've spent time meditating and you let God speak to you and use your imagination, finally, you can speak your mind to God. See, prayer is about a relationship. And although we should not make it one-sided by doing all the talking, we also do not make it one-sided by doing only listening. The good thing is that our listening actually will help to shape our talking. As you're doing this, as you're getting into contemplative prayer, any kind of prayer, set a schedule. It's hard to keep a friendship going without some kind of regular contact. It's the same way with God. You must make a time, set a time, book a time, or it will not happen. And we need to do that daily. Not just weekly when we gather here and somebody comes up here and says a congregational prayer for us. Daily communication with God. Without it, you will drift away from God. The fruit will begin to dry up. The weeds will begin to grow around you, and they will choke you out. Now, contemplative prayer might be new for some of you, this whole idea of sitting and waiting and patiently listening for God. But even if it's not, it doesn't come naturally to us to sit around and to patiently wait and to hear from God. There are different things you can do to help you through this. One is to read. Find books or articles that talk about prayer. Maybe they can help to spur you on or to kickstart your prayer life. Listen to other people as they speak about prayer. There are actually retreat centers that are developed where you can go on a retreat and the whole focus of it is just about prayer. And more specifically, contemplative prayer, where you can spend time quiet in meditation before God. The last one is the latest thing in spiritual fitness is having a fitness coach, a personal fitness coach. You can find one online, or you can go down to one of the health clubs and find one. Get this. You can even get your video game. Lisa and I have Kinect. I have Jillian Michaels as my fitness coach when I decide to put the Kinect game in and play. I have a couple others, but we have all different ways of finding these personal fitness coaches to help us out. Did you know that in the spiritual area, spiritual coaching is even older than that? It's been around for a long time. Spiritual directors, spiritual direction. I have a couple people in my life that I've started working with who are life coaches and spiritual coaches for me, and I'm able to bounce things off of them. And to come up with these ideas and to give them thoughts and they help to direct me and to guide me and to feed into me and to pour into me some of the things and some of the directions I'm going. Well, spiritual friendships are similar to spiritual direction, except that you have a friend. You and your friend help to keep each other on direction, help to keep each other accountable. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Having a spiritual friend or a soul friend is like having a training buddy, somebody who's going to spiritually help you to move along and you can spiritually help them to move along. Andrew Murray wrote, reading a book about prayer, listening to lectures and talking about it is very good, but it won't teach you to pray. You get nothing without exercise, without practice. I might listen for a whole year to a professor of music playing the most beautiful music, but that won't teach me to play an instrument. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe that God has put an entire banquet of himself out before us. And many of us have been surviving on just the appetizers, including myself. We need to dig this well deeper so that we won't go dry during the hard times. We need to work on these spiritual disciplines, weeding out the bad things in our lives so that they won't choke us out. We need to spend time before God, seeking His face so that we can enjoy the good times with Him and that we can say along with the psalmist, as I close with this, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To you, O my heart, He has said, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. As we work on these spiritual disciplines, as we work on contemplative prayer, it is for the purpose of seeking God's face and digging deeper so we don't run dry.